Hello and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
All right, so we're in the series, the marriage series, and two shall become one. And I was thinking about what it was like before. And Michelle and I, we dated in college, so we were a college couple. And that meant that for a long time, our dates were, hey, can we meet for lunch at the cafeteria? How about we study together at the library? That was date night for us for a long time. And we finally had our first date, and I actually have one picture of our first date. There it is, at a real restaurant. And now you can kind of see, I look at this, and now I go, oh, yeah. I was once asked to be a hair model. I see there, it makes sense. I've not been offered that in a long, long time. But anyway, so we had a first date, and it was amazing. And even though we had been dating for a while, it was campus dating, which was kind of a different creature. One of the things I was thinking about is just, you know, how much I wanted to be with her, and how much I wanted to make her happy. And just, you know, I yearned for that. And I remember it wasn't long after this picture, and I introduced my lovely Michelle to my motorcycle. I showed her my motorcycle, and she went, huh, nice. Yeah. And then I thought, you know, I should sell that. These are not the droids I'm looking for. And it was almost like the Force. It was just, you know, and since being married, the Force idea has not worked at all. It doesn't work. Well, as I mentioned, we're in this series, Two Shall Become One. And next week, we're going to look at the vow of partnership. But this week, we're looking at the vow of pursuit. And how that changes us. How we're different back then, in the beginning, than we are now. And how that can change. Because God wants us to be one in marriage. So, next week of our partnership. Oh, I have a graphic for it. Coming in May, we're going to be doing a series called Experiencing God. So, I'm looking forward to that one. I'm excited. By nature, we pursue what we don't have. Huh? Right? We pursue what we don't have. That's the whole thing of the bucket list, right? I want this. And once we've got it, we cross it off. We no longer pursue it. But guess what? That doesn't seem to work in marriage. You know, we start out dating and we'll go to movies we don't like, right? We'll talk about stuff we don't care about. We'll do things we don't, you know, that's not our thing because of pursuit. We'll go to great lengths to just spend a couple minutes together. And then after we're married a few years, we don't really know each other. And what happened? Well, we stopped pursuing. We stopped pursuing. And that's where the problem comes in. Nothing gets better when we neglect it. You think about that. As much as I want it to, the lawn does not get better when I neglect it, right? The business doesn't get better. Nothing gets better. And somehow we think that marriage should get better just because. Pursuit. Pursuit is part of this deal. We're going to go back to our main text that we looked last time. But before we do, I want to take another look at a romance story that captures my heart. And it's Rachel and Jacob. And it's found in Genesis 29. We're just going to look at a couple of verses. This is a complex story. We're going to look at verses 18, 19, the last half of 30. But this is a complex story. And when you read this story in the Bible, there's a lot of things you're going to go, and what? And huh? Because it's really seated in another culture. And it makes a whole lot more sense in their culture. And we'll save that for another time. But I want to capture the piece of the story that fits what we're talking about. And so there's a lot of things, and they're not a perfect couple too. So there's some things that you go, well, that, but actually it makes a lot of sense in their culture, just not ours. There's other things that you go, well, they're not a perfect couple. But this was a great part of the story. So Genesis 29, starting at verse 18, says, Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I will work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel, to his father-in-law, future father-in-law, Laban. Laban said, it's better for me, better that I give her to you than some other man, so stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but it seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. And then skip to the end of verse 13. We'll come to this in a, we'll talk about this a little later. But and he worked for Laban another 7 years. Okay, so to grasp the story, here's this young man, Jacob. He has pretty much nothing. And in that day, to get married, you needed a dowry to give to the father. He didn't have a dowry, but he was in love. And so he makes this deal with the future father-in-law that I'll work for you 7 years. Do a little math in your head. What's that worth? Whoa, he loved her, right? And 7 years he's going to work for his father-in-law and to... or future father-in-law, to marry Rachel. And it says that it seemed like only a few days because he was so in love with her. And that's like that picture. You know, back in the early days, right? All the pursuit, all the effort, all the things we did just seemed like nothing. It was, you know, we got there. We're going to do it. And pursuit because of great love. Those early days of love, heroic pursuit seemed effortless. 7 years seemed like a few days. Against our human nature, we must continue pursuit. Because guess what? Just as I said, by nature, we pursue that which we don't have. Except in marriage, we need to continue the pursuit. And long story less long, Laban, the father-in-law, changed the terms of the agreement. And he added another 7 years to the term, you know. Another 7 years to marry Rachel. And they worked a thing out, so they got married, and he worked another 7 years for her. Now, that speaks a lot, right? Because remember that we pursue that which we don't have. Once we have it, we don't... So he's married, and he's still working for her. And that speaks a lot to marriage. I think this is an extraordinarily romantic story. The end of the second 7 years, he stopped working for his father-in-law, but I get a feeling that he never stopped working for the love of his life. Pursuit was part of his DNA, part of who he was. What an amazing picture of pursuit. Pursued her just as hard after the wedding as before. Husbands and wives, both of us need to pursue. Well, back to our main text. Our main text for this series, actually, we're going to zoom in on this. It's found in Matthew chapter 19. And Jesus is talking about divorce, and then he gives this recipe here for us to really why divorce isn't a good option. Let's look at it together. It's found in Matthew chapter 19, 3 through 6. And we're zooming in on different parts of this through the series and taking a closer look. So Jesus is speaking. First Pharisees are speaking. So Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse 3. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? And as I mentioned last week, this was one of the big political issues. No fault divorce or only fault divorce. This was the big political issue of their day. Everybody was debating about this, and they're drawing Jesus into the debate. And he says, haven't you read, he replied, that in the beginning the Creator made them male and female. And he said, for this reason a man will leave his father, that's what we talked about last time, leave as an has an idea of priority. Mother and father become less of a priority. The highest priority are next to Christ. Our priority is our spouse. So, continuing on, sorry. And he said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife. The two will become one flesh. It'll no longer be two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Oh, there's so many great pieces to this. Today we're looking at this word united. And here Jesus is quoting from Genesis 2:24, right at the beginning of creation. God says, for this reason you'll leave father and mother and you'll be united with your wife, and the rest of the verse that Jesus quotes. Today we're focusing in on this word united. And when you read the word, you think this, right? United. And boy, is that a great message all by itself, right? United front, we're one, we're partners, we're equals. We're going to save that message for another time, because that's not what he's talking about. Because united isn't this literally. The Hebrew word is dabak, and dabak means this. It means pursuit together. And here, I have the definition. It means, dabak means Hebrew, united, to cling or adhere, to catch by pursuit, to pursue hard with affection and devotion. And here's some other times, I found some other times that this Hebrew word is used in the Old Testament. They are joined fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted, Job 41:17. My bones cling to my skin and my flesh, Job 19:20. They pursued hard after them, Judges 20:45. Oh my. So this idea of pursuit is right in the recipe for marriage. This idea that pursue hard, to cling fast, to follow hard, fits right in there. Last week we looked at vow number one that flows out of this, and one is, next to Christ, you are my priority. Today, vow number two, I will pursue you always. I will pursue you always. My little sister, when we were kids, she wanted a kitten. Oh, kitten, 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 kitten. All day, every day, she was, six, maybe, I don't know. Kitten, 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 kitten. And see, my mom was allergic to cats. Kitten, please, kitten, kitten, kitten. And kitten all day, every day, just that was the thing, that was the deal. And she wasn't obnoxious about it, maybe a little bit, but it wasn't terrible. That was what she wanted. And on Christmas Day, she opened up a package, and there was a kitten in the box. And she went ballistic. It was amazing. Fast forward a couple years, a cat is now living outside. And mom's taking care of the cat. Sister walks by and goes, hi, cat, as walks by. But pursuit, right? Pursue until you have, and then things kind of wear off. Isn't that how pets go with kids so many times, right? They just want a pet. That's what they want. They want the pet. And then 10 minutes after they have the pet, it's like, well, I want the next thing, right? We pursue what we don't have. I will pursue you always. There's two truths to practical life. We've been kind of intermingling some practical truths to life. And here's one that I like it. The other one's really related to it is, to get something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done. To get something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done. That's what turns wishing into reality. To get something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done. That gets us past the wishing. The second one that goes right along with it is, to get what you once had, you have to do what you once did, right? And so as I look back at the pictures of our early relationship, and there's pieces of that I want back, I have to look at, what did I once do? What did I once do? There's a verse on this. Revelation 2:5, Jesus is giving a message to churches in Revelation 2 and 3, and he says, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Wow. Wow. Now, he is speaking specifically to a spiritual truth, to a dynamic relationship that this church had with Jesus Christ, and that has passion has gone away. in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus is talking to the church saying, remember this? Remember what it used to be like at church? Remember the passion that we had in worship and the passion that we... Remember the dynamic relationship we used to have? And he's saying, get that back. Do the things you did at first. It's a spiritually true statement. To get what you once had, you have to do what you once did. Here, it's also... Or next, I want you to notice, it is action-focused. Do you see that? Do the things. Here, this is a completely spiritual relationship. And Jesus says, do the things you once did. Not feel the feelings you once had. Not think the thoughts you once did. Not believe the beliefs you once believed. But do the things you once did. It is so action-focused. And you know what? Our emotions, our thoughts, our beliefs tend to follow our actions. And so here we are, spiritually true, but guess what? It works in marriage as well. Look at what we once had. Do the things we once did. What were the things we once did? So, vow number two is worship. I will pursue you always. Next to Christ, you are my priority spouse, and I will pursue you always. So how do we fix pursuit? I'm a fix-it guy. I'm a do-it-yourselfer. I think it's incredibly important in a household. I probably overemphasize it. Other people overemphasize other things, but I'm a do-it-yourselfer. And this is my stool. I've had this a long time. And, you know, I'm a pretty tall guy, but if I'm working on light fixtures, I need a little bit extra height. If I'm working low on cars I need to be comfortable working low. And so I use this thing all the time, and you can tell because there's paint, and this purple stuff is for plumbing, and there's all sorts of stains on this thing for a long time. And one time I was sitting on this thing working on a project in our basement at the time, and in Minnesota, I was working on a project, and I was thinking, you know, you're doing a project, but your thoughts are elsewhere. And I was thinking, you know, some people believe that women belong in the House, and other people believe that women belong in the Senate. But that one will catch you. But my woman belongs on a pedestal. And so that day, I stopped right there. I stopped my project. I grabbed this. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool to have a pedestal? Where would you get a pedestal? And then I went, well, I'm sitting on one, really, aren't I? And so I grabbed it. I walked upstairs, and I set it down in the kitchen. And I took Michelle, and I led her, and I said, stand there. She said, what are you doing? What am I doing this for? And I said what I said. And then I told her why I believed she belonged in a pedestal. I started talking about the great things. Now, Michelle and I have been married a long time, 25 years. I know all the faults. I know all the shortcomings. I know all the misses. I know all the mistakes. I know all the stuff. I know all the skeletons in the closet. I know all the things. But pursuit. I have to look past those to say, why is this person magnificent? And I stopped that day, and it's become a tradition in our house. She sees me come in with every now and again, she sees me come in with the pedestal. And I set it down, usually in the kitchen, and I set her up, and I start saying, you know what, I think you're pretty amazing. Let me tell you why. And I tell her how I feel, what I see in her that's amazing. And it affects our marriage. How do we fix pursuit? We fix pursuit by looking closely at intentions. You see, just another human nature thing. We tend to judge others by their actions and judge ourselves by our intentions, right? We judge others, oh, look what you did. We judge ourselves by our intentions. Oh, I didn't mean to do that, right? And that creeps into marriage. And that will lead you to some pretty deep disappointments in life, in your home. If you judge your spouse by their actions and yourself by your intentions. We need to look closely at intentions. And I want you to invite others into that intention ring to say, okay, I tend to judge myself by my intentions. I'm going to do the same with you. Let's look at intentions. Judging by actions and not looking at intentions will kill pursuit and ultimately hinder relationship. Their intentions create our pursuit. Remember the things you did at first? You talked about dreams, right? You talked about loves. You talked about deep emotions. You talked about visions of the future. You talked about these things that you did at first, and it caused you to pursue. Get to know those again. What are the intentions? What are the heart? Our pursuit will only work if our intentions then turn to action. So we need to look closely at the other's intention, but we need to look closely at our action to turn our attention, our intentions into action. One of the things, the challenge of today's message is to turn our intentions into actions in real life. When you think something good, say it. I missed this just recently because I'm driving home, and as I'm driving home, I'm thinking, my wife's amazing. Wow, there's this and there's that and there's the other thing, and I'm a lucky guy. Wow, this is great. And I pull in the driveway and I walk in and I say, hey, honey, what's for dinner? Yeah? Well, from my point of view, things are awesome. From her point of view, what? Right? So here's the challenge. When you think about something good, say it. Say it. Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So how do we do that? One, pursue her with words of affection. Pursue her with words of affection. Not that kind of affection. Pursue her with words of loving affection. Add the word because to the second pair of three great words. We say, I love you. That's the first pair of three, or first set of three great words. Next one is, I like you. And I like you because, and you could say, I love you because, there's a little difference there, but still. I like you because, and say why. Talk about the good things. Why do I like you? Words of affection are pursuit. Pursue him with words of affirmation. Her, words of affection. Him, pursue him with words of affirmation. Why? Because as confident as he appears on the inside, he's not. He needs to know that you believe in him again today. He is becoming what you say about him. Your opinion of him matters more than any opinion on the planet. By the way, men, wrongly, every one of us would shake our head and say, no, we know this isn't right. We know this shouldn't be. We know this isn't the way it's supposed to be. But men are trained to believe that their worth is only as good as their last compliment. Right? You could have 10,000 people tell you you're great yesterday. Today somebody give you and how do you feel, guys? Right? Oh, man, I'm terrible. Right? You had 1,000 compliments yesterday. Today you had one complaint and you're just devastated. Right? Why? Because men are trained to wrap their self-worth around their last compliment. And we all know, we can all emotionally set back from that and go, yeah, I know that's not right. But guess what? That's where we are. And so pursue him with words of affirmation. He needs to know that you believe in him today. Yesterday is gone. He needs to know today. So when you think something good, say it. Pursue her with words of affection, him with words of affirmation. Secondly, when you think something special, do it, right? How many times, right? We think, oh, that would be great. That would be neat. We should do that. Do it. James 4:17, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Now, this is talking about spiritual things and so forth, but it works in marriage as well. The the things that we know we're supposed to do. We just need to do them. We think them, right? The things going on in our heads most of the time are really good things. And we just need to get them into actions. And so something special that you've been thinking about, do it. So, guys, you know, the chocolate and flowers, better bathe the kids. The old saying is, no man has ever been killed while doing the dishes, right? And so do the special things. Leave notes around often. With wives, my experience is all points evaporate at midnight. Could have made a million points yesterday. I got to make more points today. So pursuit in action as well. And then last, when you want something to be different, be it yourself. Romans 12:2. I don't usually use the New Living Translation. It's fine, but this one says a little different. New Living Translation says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." So, Lord, less of me, more of you, even in my marriage. Regardless of what he or she is doing or not doing, I want to be different. I want to be a different kind of spouse. And I want a different kind of marriage, so I need to be a different kind of spouse. One of the great truths of marriage in the Bible is that it is used over and over and over and over and over again as our relationship with God. God continually points to marriage and say it's like a good marriage. That's the way our relationship is like with God is like what a good marriage should be like. And it's a great thing that we can see, right? We can see good marriages and go, that's what God wants for us in our relationship with Him. And, you know, Jesus pursues you, right? Jesus pursues you relentlessly, endlessly. Today, yesterday, tomorrow, He pursues you. Luke 15:4 says, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep." This is Jesus telling a parable. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99? In the open country to go after the lost sheep until he finds it." What a great picture there, right? Of Jesus telling us our worth and that he's pursuing us. And his pursuit of us doesn't end when we receive him as Lord and Savior. He continues pursuing us. And he is pursuing you and I today. He wants to be near us. He wants to be closer. He wants us. And so, as we end today, I want to think about that thought as well. The two shall become one. A great message of marriage. Marriage is unique. And as we go further in this, we'll see some really amazing things. But here today, pursuit. The vow of pursuit is a continual vow, and Jesus is continuing to pursue us. So, as we close in prayer, I want to end with, how is Jesus pursuing you today? What does Jesus, what part of you that is he longing for today? Let's give that to him. Lord Jesus, we come to you, and we have been the lost sheep. Sometimes we've been really lost. Sometimes there's just parts of us that are not yours. Lord, come into my life. Thank you for pursuing me in your holiness, in your righteousness, in your goodness. Lord, I give you myself again today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.